Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Ah, that's a good chat with Brian there. And on our email that we read out at the beginning of the show, just listen to that letter you read out. I'm smiling here, not because our situation is the same, but because I'm so happy to hear someone is enjoying life. My husband hasn't worked since last March and our business will not be open for a long time yet. Times are hard, but we are okay. We have love, laughter and food. We've had to make financial changes and it can be very stressful, but I think we've all learned to be kinder and that's why I'm smiling at that letter. I'm so happy for that lady, genuinely, says Elle. And what a refreshing letter you just read out. And it brought a smile to my face with the line, the school uniforms are under a pile of duvets somewhere. That was my life for many years when family were young. Everyone seems to have the perfect house now, always tidy and immaculate. Doesn't always mean perfect life. Stay safe out there, says P. And I too like lockdown. Can't say I actually love it. I'm a woman of a certain age living with my adult son who is at work all day. I agree with the First Lady who said there have been more difficult times. It's a matter of being thankful for the small things in life. This will pass eventually. We would be in a whole lot worse place if there was no vaccine yet, says Mary. And somebody else has been on. I went for a walk, run last night, doing the loop around my house. I do exercise but hate running. So I took an ocean and went off late last night and ran when I could. There wasn't a sound and I only met one car, 6.5 kilometres. It was within my 5K because I did a loop. But when I came home, I was as high. So I might actually get into running. But I think I'll be going on my very own. Very relaxing, says that person. There you go. I'm delighted for you that you discovered it and the positives of running, which brings us nicely on to this.
Operation Transformation on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Healthy Ireland, helping you keep well.
And we should have Sharon Gaffney, who's the leader on this year's Operation Transformation online. How are you doing, Sharon?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you. And Carl Henry is waiting in the wings there. How are you doing, Carl? He's not. Oh, we get to Carl later on. Okay, Sharon, we'll talk to you first. So it's sort of week four now, tonight. Week four.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So how are you finding the whole experience?
It's brilliant. I'm enjoying it and I'm enjoying tasting so many different foods and actually running. I haven't run before. It was never my forte, believe it or not.
And you're enjoying it. It's always going to be tough. It's never going to be easy. But I suppose it's like that woman there. It's how you feel when you're finished it.
Oh, yeah. No, don't get me wrong. It's tough. And I feel every step when I'm running. But when you finish it, you do finish on a high and you have this energy that it's fantastic,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that you completed something. And this is, you know, I often went walking, but never did the running. I always said to myself, I can't run. But there you go.
You're doing it. And Paige is doing it. Just to remind people, can I give your age? Because it's there anyway. You're 44.
You can.
You live in Drimna. Yep. 3 children. Paige is 15. And then Max and Leo are the twins. They're great crack.
Yes.
And you're Director of Finance and Organisation Services in the Royal Victoria Eye and Ear Hospital in Dublin, which is a very busy and stressful job. With the 3 children, you have a lot on your plate. It's all about sizes. No, I'm joking. But you have a lot on your plate.
It really is. Yeah. No, I mean, it's busy. But I mean, what I found was, well, before I started, I was like, how am I even going to fit this in?
Yeah.
But, you know, what you do is I get in more steps during the day now I've ever done before. I get in my walks out at lunch from the hospital. I go out maybe just for a small tea break and do a few more steps. I use the stairs a lot more. And then when I come home, depending on what I have to do, whether it be resistance or cardio training, I make it my time.
Yeah.
And that's what I never did before.
You sound like a different person. You know, we spoke a few weeks ago. Do you feel that in yourself?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Calmer, happier. I have this, you know, that motivation people talk about and that spark that you lose when you're probably feeling not great about yourself. Definitely, it's getting there. It's coming back. I'm feeling good. I see the kids laugh and smile a lot more. And that just, to me, means everything. So that helps me, you know, and pushes me and motivates me even more. And we do enjoy it. Now, don't get me wrong. We still, you know, there's still times we're like, oh, my God, Kev, where's this? What's that? Yeah. You know, and we're running around or we're giving out to each other over something small because that's what families do.
Yes,
but when
yes.
we go and do these things, we laugh at it. And, you know, when we're finished, I mean, we may give out during the whole process of trying to run up the road, but we, afterwards we laugh at it. And that's yeah. what's important.
Because you know? in the first episode, you referred to yourself as Sad Mam. You didn't want to be Sad Mam. Yeah. So yep. is she gone?
She's hidden right, more, you know.
Right, okay.
So I think I'm not sad because I'm seeing this light at the end of a tunnel all of a sudden. I know now I can do it. I just didn't know where to start. I didn't know how to give myself that kick, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have this drive now and I suppose you don't know. I didn't know how this would be with the kids and how they'd react to it. But I've never seen three kids take on something yeah. And run with it as much as they're doing with it yeah. for me. And I you know, and that's what I love. Yeah, yeah. you know. And I don't have time to be sad.
Good. There's a great scene in tonight's program. The two lads are with your parents. I think your mum asked one of the lads, do they prefer homeschooling or going to school? And he says, I prefer school because when you're homeschooling, the Xbox is in the corner going, use me, use me. So there's a lot of more distractions at home. How is the homeschool going?
Oh, you know, it's okay. They have their ups and downs. Like they were doing great. Yesterday there was a little bit of meltdown happening with one of them. Couldn't find this or he didn't know what this meant.
Yeah.
But he got it done in the end and I happened to be home yesterday, which was grand. So I was able to kind of calm him, sit down with him. But sometimes there is that little bit of panic with them, you know, and often I've been in work and I've got those texts now where they go into panic because they can't do something and they're not sure. And I think that's what they're missing. They're missing that security of having the teacher there if yeah. they need to ask something, you know. But they're good little workers, they are, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And Paige is getting on well. She's, you know, she's a different person as well from the Paige we saw in the first episode.
Yeah, yeah, Paige is doing well, you know. Like that, it took her time to be able to start this and she had to do it when she was ready. And she did. And she got into it and she goes out now. She'll go out sometimes before I go out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I'm late in work or wherever, she just said, oh, Mom, I'm not waiting on you. And off she goes. And which is fantastic that she and, you know, she even we had a conversation and she cost me a lot of money the other day when she decided that these were what she wanted. These are some outfits she's wanted. And she said, what you think? And I said, you just put on it what you want. Because even before Christmas, she wouldn't pick out anything
all
for
right.
herself.
Yes.
And
yeah.
now she's like, this is the style I want to have,
brilliant.
Ma'am.
Brilliant.
You know, and
yeah.
that's what I wanted for her.
Yeah. Now, we started off this conversation talking about running and the Operation Transformation 5K is going virtual this year and Carol Henry is on the line to tell us all about it. Stay with us there, Sharon. How are you doing, Carol?
Ray Darcy, how are you?
Good. Good. So it's Thursday the 18th, Friday the 19th and Saturday the 20th of January. What's happening?
Well, we're going to get Ireland running. That's exactly what's happening. Normally, we're limited to 5,000 people in the Phoenix Park and it sells out every year and people are looking for entries. This year, obviously, we want people to run virtually, socially distant. Over those 3 days, the 18th, the 19th and the 20th of February, we want people to do their 5K with the hashtag wear red, because every year the leaders and the experts all wear red at the Phoenix Park, so we're using that hashtag. And we want to see the nation running and moving as one group and one team of people getting fit together. So it's going to be like an incredible 3 days. And to be able to have more than 5,000 this
yes.
year is something I've always wanted to do, because the numbers and the requests have always exceeded that. So
this,
it gives us a great chance to be able to do it, you know.
This is going to be, by default, the biggest Operation Transformation 5K ever.
It is. It'll probably be the biggest fitness event ever in the country.
Right.
And that's one of the benefits of it is virtual. You can run 5K from home with socially distant. And, you know, you've trained over the course of the 8 weeks of the show, just like our leaders have. And just even listening to Sharon on the line there, you can hear the positivity.
Yes.
You can hear the health in her voice as she talks. And we want to see visible, we want to see photographs, videos, content sent into us across all the Operation Transformation social media platforms. And we'll create that community and we'll show that people are out doing this and that we have such big numbers across the country walking, jogging, running, doing that 5K. And you know, you're a big runner yourself. You know that if you can run or walk 5K, you can change your health. That's why it's so important to the show every year. And I'm so excited for these 3 days to see just how many people do get out and send all the content in.
And Sharon, you'll have, I'd say you'll have a crew running with you, will you, for your 5K?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. They're all gearing up to go, I tell you. There'll be racing going on, I'd say, with my lot.
And how do you feel? Because this will be the first time you'll have run 5K, won't it, or will it?
Oh, yeah, I will. I'm a bit nervous, but... you know, I just keep going. My dad said to me today, he just said, Sharon, you just don't give up. You just keep doing it and you keep going. And that's what I'm going to do, you know. And but I'm looking forward to it. This is a big thing for me. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and Paige is going to do it as well, is she?
She is, yeah. And the boys.
Brilliant.
And all the family, all my family are signing up for it. So we're all raring to go for this.
So it's rte.ie/OT and you can register for your virtual 5K and it's happening any day, Thursday the 18th, Friday the 19th and Saturday the 20th of January. And as you say, Carl, it could be the biggest fitness event ever in this country.
Yeah, we're expecting it to be. They're the kind of numbers that we're looking at.
What are you looking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking across 3 days? Many people?
I would have thought 20 to 30,000 people.
Right.
Like we know the numbers that we get through the website every year. And so just for people listening in, that link does go live tomorrow evening after the show. We're going to tee it up on the show. Or sorry, tonight.
Tonight.
We're teeing it up on the TV tonight. It's a bit like that at the minute. No one knows what day it is. it'll go live and you can register and get your registration in. And then I would see 20 to 30,000 be the numbers that we'd be expecting, getting moving, getting fit, getting out and getting some, you know, having a nice target to work towards. We're all going to need targets for February.
Right.
We know that.
Okay.
This gives three lovely dates for people to work towards.
Great. I can tell them, Sharon, that you hit your target tonight and there's some big losses on Operation Transformation. 9:30 after news on RTE1. And just before the two of you go, there was a letter to the Irish Times the other day by Sianna Campbell, who used to be a presenter on RTE. And her husband came down to breakfast the other morning and he said, "Is today yesterday?" that's the way things are at the moment. Is today right, Carl? Mind yourself, Sharon. We talk again. Mind yourself.
Thanks,
see
William.
You. Bye, 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 bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Grandma, good morning. Thank you very much. 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. On Brian there, anonymous texter says, "I understand that man's sister wishing her brother would die. That thought came to my mind when my son was at his lowest. It's not because you don't love them. It's because you love them so much. You can't bear to see them in that awful agony day after day. In the middle of it, you think there's no way out, especially after trying everything. So you wish your loved one some peace, and death, you think, is the only way. Thankfully, our son came out the other end and is doing very well now. I was and am ashamed of that thought, and I'm glad I'm not the only one who has had it and said it." Maybe you didn't say it out loud, you just had the thought. And on the letter we read out, or the email we read out at the top of the show, "I feel so much like that lady who loves lockdown. So do I. I'm still going out to work, but the pace of life is slower and less rushing around. I would gladly live with this forever. I'm very aware that people are suffering because of the lockdown, and all I can say to them is please be grateful if you're able to get yourself out of bed every morning. Just take 1 hour at a time. God bless all your listeners and yourself," says Maureen. And we know over 3,000 families have been affected, because that's the number of people who have died because of COVID, and that's tragic, particularly when they can't mourn and grieve their loved ones in the way we're used to. Great letter from that lady. "I concur with most of what she said. I think it gives us all time to appreciate what we have," says Anna. And what a brilliant letter. Thanks to the writer. Going to take a few leaves out of her book. "I had tougher years too, years ago, with bipolar and more. Life is definitely less tough now for me," says that person. Now, it's time for our quiz of today. And the prize this week comes from Castleknock Hotel, a two-night break with dinner on one evening. And it's all to sort of celebrate their missed moments packages, things that you missed out on celebrating last year, birthdays, anniversaries and date nights. They have packages to suit, balloons, bubbles and cake. You can find out more at castleknockhotel.com. So we have a two-night break with dinner. And Anne. Anne Kilacky. I've never met a Kilacky before.
I haven't.
It sounds like a place as opposed to a surname. You know,
it sounds like a what, a play?
Yes, you know, kill. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
I've heard a lot of things said about it, but not that now.
No, because, you know, there's so many, like Kildare, Kilcock, Killaloo, I'll go on. But because the Irish word for church is killed, we have lots of kills around the... do you know anything about the origins of your name, Kilacky?
I just know that it comes from near Aircourt in Galway. That's where my husband's father came from.
Right.
Now, I was a Burke.
You were a Burke, right.
I was a Burke, so I came from a very common name to a very unusual name.
Oh, and that was my next question. It is unusual, isn't it, Kilacky?
It is unusual, yeah. North Tipperary, I think, and South Galway or something like that, anyway, in that area. But there are a few.
Right.
There are a few.
I'm just trying to think of it. You know, Anne Kilacky works because your Anne is a nice, strong, you know. Not plain. Yeah, a simple name, yeah.
You wouldn't want that's one, why I call my kids plain names, because the surname was too unusual. Yeah,
exactly, it's gas. I've had this conversation, people think I'm mad. It's like when you're decorating a room. You don't put patterned carpet with patterned curtains.
Exactly, yes, yeah. And even simple spellings, because, you know, I have a Maeve and I spelled it M-A-E-V-E.
Yes.
You know, it's just too complicated trying to spell the surname.
So you think a bit like me. That's right. So what's your story? You're an SNA.
Yes.
So everyone knows
in
that
Laca, you're in Galway, yeah.
In Laca?
Yes.
So Anne Kilacky works in Laca. Ah, come on.
Does that rhyme?
Well, what's that thing, the internal rhyming in poetry? What do you call that? Anyway, somebody will let me know what it is.
Yeah.
So you're at home at the moment.
I'm at home at the moment, yes. Myself and the dog are here together.
Right. And do you miss...
I do. I said that to your researcher. I would love to be back. I'm just, you know, just finding that I'm nearly going off my head now, and I miss school. We have a lovely school. We have lovely staff. The kids are lovely. I actually love to get up and go to work every day, and I miss them. You know, I really miss them.
Aren't you lucky that you love it so much?
I am. I'm really blessed. I often say that.
Yeah.
I actually, when it comes to the holidays, I don't even mind. You know, I'm not really... mad looking forward to the holidays. Right. I actually love going to work.
Yeah. So you have your own children. What stage are they at?
Well, Brendan's 25 and Sarah's 23 and Mavis 21. So two in college, one doing an internship accountancy, and they're all little part-time jobs as well. Right. You know, so,
and are they at home as well?
Two are at home. Brendan's at home. Sarah's at home. Sarah's in WIT, but she's working from home.
Yes.
Maeve, would you believe it, is in NUIG, but she's living in Galway because she works weekends and it's not that easy to get, you know, travelling to Galway at the weekends. Yeah. You know, the buses don't really run, so she decided to live in.
Right.
Don't think she wants to live with us.
I'm sure she does. And you have people all over the world. I'm looking here. You have people in. You have one sister in Chicago.
Sister in Chicago.
What's your preferred mode of communication with people? Is it FaceTime or Zoom or what?
I actually ring most of the time. Not time I might do Messenger. You know, FaceTime and that. Yeah. But I would just like the phone calls, really. You know?
Old school.
Yeah, old school is right, yeah.
I think I'm with you as well, because the visuals get in the way, don't they, in a way?
Yeah. People, I used to ring my son, he was in New York. I used to ring him a bit, all right, and put him on the, and, you know, just like to see what he looked like. You know, he was away for 6 months this year, so.
Right, okay.
I'd show him the dog, you know.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. You're up against Richard Finnegan, and Richard is in Navan and County Meath. How are you doing, Richard?
Hey Ray, how are you?
Good. And you're working from home?
I am, like everybody else, I think.
Yeah. What do you do normally when you wouldn't be working from home?
No, I'd be on the road a lot, so I would. Different customers and stuff like that, Ray. But it's just very difficult at the moment. So, working from home, Zoom calls and email and phone and all of the good stuff that goes with it.
Yeah. Do you dress up for the Zoom calls?
Yeah, I would actually. Yeah, depending on who the call is with, Ray. But yeah, I would.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, you still need to make sure you're putting out the right.
Yes, yeah. And is it just from waist up, Richard?
No, I would go the
full... Oh, you go the idea, right?
Yeah, I would, in case I ever had to get up from the table in case of an emergency, Ray. You just want to make sure that there's nothing showing, like, or nothing hanging out or anything like
fair
that.
Fair enough. Are you in Navan Town or are you out the country?
Outside. Yeah. I'm just looking out my window now, so I am, Ray, and I see there's three pheasants walking around the garden and not a bother on them.
Three pheasants?
You know what? Isn't life great?
Yeah.
Just as I was waiting for you to come on there, they just appeared out of the hedge. And they're wandering around the garden there now, not a bother on them.
Ah, that's lovely. That's
gorgeous.
Yeah, gorgeous. Yeah. You're lucky in your own way as well. Okay, so good luck to you both. Five questions each. Whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. We need the answers as quickly as possible. If there's a draw at the end of that, we go to a tie-break situation. Okay, here we go. Right, Anne Kilacky, who works in Laca. Your first question is this. On this day in 1695... Mustafa II was declared the Ottoman Sultan in Istanbul. I'll read that all again. On this day in 1695, On this day in 1695, Mustafa II was declared the Ottoman Sultan in Istanbul. The question has nothing to do with any of that. Well, it has in a way. In which country would you find Istanbul?
Turkey.
It's correct answer. Now, Richard, in this day in 1895, a revival of Tchaikovsky's ballet Swan Lake premiered in St. Petersburg. In what country would you find St. Petersburg?
Russia.
Correct answer. And your second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
Part of my beauty regimen. What it is basically egg whites, creme fraiche, powdered sugar, vanilla, and a little touch of alum. There you go, dear. Oh, there you go. You've got your cream and your sugar now. It's a little cappuccino.
On this day in 1979, at the 36th Golden Globes, Robin Williams was nominated for a Best Actor award for his role in Mork and Mindy. You heard him there playing a female housekeeper in which movie?
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Correct answer. Richard, have a listen to this.
Would you want Marie?
Denny, I don't know what to say.
Say yes.
Yes. Oh, Denny, this means so much to me. Because I know now that you respect me.
So still with the 36 Golden Globes in 1979, that actress was nominated for a Best Actress Award for a role as Sandy Olson in Grease. Can you name her?
Olivia Newton-John?
Yes, the gorgeous Olivia Newton-John. And back to you, third question. On this day in 2010, J.D. Salinger, author of The Catcher in the Rye, died at the age of 91. What nationality was J.D. Salinger, British or American?
American.
That's the correct answer. For you, Richard, on this day in 1832, Lewis Carroll, author of Alice in Wonderland, was born. What nationality was Lewis Carroll, British or American?
He was British.
He was British. You're doing well. 3-3 as we go on to Anne. And your fourth question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
I'm dancing in the moonlight. It's caught me in its spotlight. It's all right. Dancing in the moonlight. On this long, hot summer night.
So on this in 1951, Brian Downey, drummer with that group, was born in Dublin. Can you name the group?
Tim Lizzie.
Yeah, well done. Correct. And for you, Richard, have a listen to this.
I really want to start over again.
On this day in 1972, Mark Owen, a member of that group, was born in England. Can you name the group?
Take That.
Yeah, and it was only Gary Barlow's birthday last week. He was 50. So it's 4-4. Down to the wire. And get this right, you put Richard under pressure. Get it wrong, then you give him a chink of light there. If he answers correctly, he wins. Okay, good luck with this. On this day in 1942, a record low temperature of -27.4 degrees centigrade was recorded in the Netherlands. What we want to know is the population of the Netherlands. 7 million, 17 million or 27 million?
I think 17 million.
You think right. It is. And that means you have a clean sheet. Pressure on you, Richard. Get it right and we're in a tiebreak situation. Good luck with this. On this day in 1982, Mauno Koivisto was installed as President of Finland. What's the population of Finland? 5.5 million, 10.5 million or 15.5 million?
The second one, Ray, 10.5 million.
It's 5.5 million.
That's it.
It's very similar to our own population here, not too far away from our own
population. Well done, Anne. Well done.
Oh, thank you.
Richard, sorry about that. And I believe your brother Sean was on, and he got to a tiebreaker situation. So he's going to have bragging rights over you now.
Yeah, that's the problem, Ray. No worries.
Okay.
Richard, thanks very much, Ray.
Richard, great talking to you. Mind yourself.
And you too.
And we're going to send you out a radar somewhere. Bye now. Bye. You're off to Castleknock Hotel when we get to the other side of all this. You and a person of your choice. And you can find out more about it if you go to castleknockhotel.com.
Someone must have been listening to me because I said in the text today I needed a holiday.
Well, there you go. You have it. You
must
have
be my guardian angel there.
There you go. Great talk to you, Anne. Mind yourself.
Thanks, Ray.
See you now.
Thank
bye,
you.
Bye,
take
bye.
Care.
Bye.
Show
on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551 for your text. On Monday night, BBC One aired a documentary called Harvey and Me. It followed the difficulties that Katie Price and her disabled son Harvey face as he moves from education into adulthood and the steps they need to take to get Harvey into long-term care. And Katie Price joins me on the line now. How are you doing, Katie?
Hi, and thanks for having me. It's very different to do it on the radio than in TV.
Yes, it is. It is. Listen, look, just Harvey. I love Harvey.
Yeah.
He's such a charming, mannerly, funny man. Because he's a man now, isn't he? He's 18.
He is. And obviously, some people might have missed it, my BBC documentary, Me and Harvey, but you can get it back on BBC iPlayer. You can repeat watch it on there.
Yeah.
So I did a documentary on Harvey. Obviously, I've done lots of reality shows through the years, and where Harvey has been on them, you know, and Harvey's been on my social medias, but no one's ever actually done an insight of me just as a mum with my son doing the journey, transitional journey. Now he's 18, where things definitely change, especially in his world, and transition him into a residential college. So I decided to do this documentary because I wanted it to be educational, to let people out there know they're not alone. And even like myself, you know, my other children, like Junior, when he's looking for a college, it's so much easier. But when you've got a child with complex needs, it just changes. Like hospitals, you know, he's with Great Ormond Street and now he's an adult. He has to go to an adult hospital and it all changes because you can't stay with him.
Mm.
And then the funding, it might be different in Ireland, but the funding is different to help them get into residential and all the forms you have to fill out and finding the right college. It can be very, very daunting. So I wanted to do a documentary. It's quite comforting to people to know they're not alone. And even myself, it doesn't matter who I am, what I do for a job, I still have to go through the same process as everybody else.
Just to remind people that Harvey was diagnosed with septo-optic dysplasia, which is a rare genetic disorder that affects his eyesight. He has autism, Prader-Willi syndrome, and that can cause learning difficulties and behavioural problems. And he has the mental ability of around a 7.5, 8-year-old.
Yeah, and he's ADHD, got opposite deficit disorder, like some basic behaviour problems. So, yeah, he's very complex.
Yes, and
he's, on the same time, he's on medication to keep him alive and for his behaviour. So it is very complex. It's very rare. There's, the doctor said, like, it's only Harvey's got what he's got in the UK.
He's unique, yeah. What height is he, Katie?
He's about 6'2".
And he's 28.5 stone.
Yeah, 29 stone.
29
Although
stone.
I do think he's lost a little bit now.
Right, okay.
But he's still a big boy. Yeah, he's in like 6XL clothes. It's hard to find clothes for him. And, you know, but the thing is, I never moan. I'm not one to moan. I don't moan. I love him to bits. He's unique. And like people have got to remember, I started my career really the same time I had Harvey, and he's all I know.
Yeah.
So when I watched the documentary back, it's like, oh, that's just half. Where other people, you know, since it's been on, they're actually like shocked about a lot of it, the challenges and what I actually go through, and can see me really as a mum, as a person. Yeah. They identify me as that, yeah.
Well, you're a brilliant mum and the relationship is so special. And people say that all the time. Oh, yeah, we're so close that we finish each other's sentences. But you actually share words in a sentence. So it's like a little... You say one word, he says the next, then you say another word.
Yes, it's quite an autistic thing, I would say.
Is it? Yes.
And I think it's more to do with anxiety and reassuring for him. Like if he says Gary, I know I have to say Barlow, as in the singer Gary Barlow, because he reflects back to the Queen's Jubilee that was on years ago. And then we'll end up talking about Lang Lang, who played the piano. But it's like, oh my God, Harvey, I don't want to talk about Gary Barlow. Like, but it's just, it's all the time, it's the same thing. And the funny thing is, even Junior Princess, Jet and Bunny, we all do the same. And you hear us all having these different conversations. People must think we're crazy, but that's just how Harvey, he likes to relate to us with his own little language and me finishing his sentences.
And
he
Katie,
is funny.
Where have those 18 years gone? It only seems like yesterday when, you know, the story came out about you and Harvey.
Oh my God, I know. 18 years and wow, what a journey I've been on with Harvey and myself separately. It's just, you know, life goes quick and life is precious and take each day as it comes.
Yeah.
And also anyone out there who's got a child with disabilities, I get a lot of people asking me questions and stuff. Some people are ashamed. They've got a child or adult they're with disabilities. And I would say never be ashamed. We're all unique in our own way. Some people are embarrassed to go out if they've got a child or adult like it because they think people stare. So what if they stare? This is your life. Embrace it. And as much as having a disabled child, it's rewarding at the same time. I know it's challenging, but, you know, you're in a unique situation. Yeah. And I love it. I would not change it for anything.
So Harvey, like a lot of people with autism, they like the same things. So he has a fascination with trains. He has a fascination with frogs. And he likes routine. And that's one of the big challenges, isn't it? Because he's been in the place he's in now for quite some time and he loves it and people know him. And now he's going to a different residential care place. And we see you, and when people watch it, or maybe they saw it on Monday night, we see you bringing him to various places. And there's and of course, he...
Challenging.
Very challenging, very challenging. Yeah, I don't know how you do it. I actually, and I know there are carers listening here, and I've spoken to, numerous carers over the years, and I'm just, hats off to you. I'm in awe of how you live your lives.
I always say, any carers out there and parents, I have great respect for them because I know I'm one myself, and I know the challenges, and I know how rewarding it could be, and it takes a kind of person to do it. And as with Harvey, like the routine, you can't just say, right, get in the car, do this, we're doing that. It will confuse him, make him anxious. You have to do things slowly. And like with the residential where he is now, Monday to Friday, I never wanted him to go, but I know it was good for him to go. And now the college, he's not going into care. Some people said he was going into care. Care is very different to residential.
Right.
Now, the reason I'm finding him a residential place, which is 52 weeks of the year, is because some weekends, because I want him to find friends and socialise, he might want to go bowling with them or the cinema and not want to come home to me. You know, it just gives him that option and he deserves it. And he'll be there till he's 25. He's an adult now, so I do have to let him have some kind of independent life skills and be an adult. And, you know, it's only fair for him. But then he can come back to me. But I have to give him the best shot I can.
Of course.
And he deserves it.
And this comes up over and over again. And you say it because you meet a number of women that you would have met years ago who have children with similar needs to Harvey. You all agree. And this is horrific, but people have said it to me before, carers of adult children with disabilities, that they hope that their children die before they do.
Yeah, I mean, we all speak about it. It's not like we want our kids to die, certainly not. But the reason we say it is, if you're in our situations, people would understand. And the way I'll describe it to people is, the reason we say it is because we know how to care for them. We know what they want. And if we wasn't there, they would not understand. It would break their heart. And to me, to not be there to tickle Harvey the way I do, to finish his sentences, the hygiene, just the little bits he knows. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
I am his mum, his dad. I'm his absolute life.
Yes.
And if someone ever hurt him or anything, he wouldn't understand why and wouldn't be able to tell you. It's just all these things.
Yes.
And I know that I'm not the only parent that thinks that.
No.
Obviously, I don't want him to go for me, but like, obviously, I don't want him to go, but like,
no, would you worry about a time when you're,
I'd want us to live our life, yes, and then choose that he would go first. Yeah.
The phrase that comes up over and over in the documentary is kicking off, or when Harvey kicks off. And a particular thing that makes him kick off is doors banging.
Oh my God. Yeah. Doors, sneezing, and any sudden noises, like if you've got people in the house and they suddenly all laugh, it's the shock factor. Because remember, he can't see like all of us. So you can see if someone's coming through a door, so you automatically know it's going to slam. He can't. It's just, yeah, things like that. He goes absolutely crazy. Like in the documentary, you'll see we're at a school showing him around, and then one of the doors banged. So he started banging his head. And so in the documentary, it was important for me to show how challenging he is, but not have a full kickoff moment, because it can be distressing for people to watch. And that's not what the show was about. But you get to see enough that what upsets him and the trigger points, and realise why he needs to go somewhere where, you know, you've got people around him who can calm him back down again, because he can't have me there all the time to do that.
No, that's a worry, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
You've never felt in danger around him. Ever?
Never. Yeah. Never. He would never. And thing is, he hasn't got a bad bone in his body, and he wouldn't want to harm anyone. But the thing is, when you've got autism, and, you know, there's other similar things as autism, when you get in that rage, it's hard. They just have to follow it through and then calm down. They don't mean it at the time.
Yeah.
That's part of it. You know, he would lash out. Yeah. He will smash the window, will bang his head, because it's that sudden rage that he gets.
There's been a huge reaction to the documentary. Will you please tell Katie, my wife and one of our teenagers watched the programme last night, and we think she's amazing and Harvey's just brilliant. We've always watched programmes over the years about Katie and her family, and we love her. That's J and B. And no matter what people think of Katie Price, she absolutely loves Harvey, and he's very lucky to have her, says Catherine.
He
is very lucky to have you. He is, like, and it's just such a beautiful relationship. It's stunning. And one of the good things that has come out of the reaction is that there's a lovely scene where Harvey is with a guy he used to know called Zach. Both of them have this fascination with trains, and they're standing there looking at all the trains coming in, and Harvey does a little bit of an announcement. And what has happened as a result of that? Somebody's been in contact with you, have they?
Yes, there's been stations have been in contact for him to go and do an announcement. Now, I think BBC now want to do a number two, because everyone's asking, they want to see it all. And so part of it, we've filmed that, an announcement. Mencap, they've asked him to be an ambassador. So I think it's brilliant for Harvey.
Yes.
And I'd love to be an ambassador to show it. Just because you've got a disability doesn't mean you're not able to do things as able people, because you can.
Yeah.
And that you can live with disability, and families can live with disability. You've just got to find the right help. And, you know, I don't treat Harvey any different to my other children. I make him do the dishwasher. I make him do things, whether he likes it or not. Because I'm like, Harv, you don't think you're just going to sit there. You're going to help. You know, go make me an orange squash. I make him do things. But remember, he's a teenager as well. So he's going to have his Kevin and Perry moments. I don't know if anyone's seen
film.
They're like, oh, whatever. No, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I still have the same thing with Harvey.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to brush his teeth, doesn't want to have a shower.
Yeah.
So it's the same.
Yeah.
Chaos is my house, is what I'd like to say. Absolute chaos with the five kids.
Well, Katie, good luck with getting a place for Harvey.
Thank
I know you're going to find out in March sometime, and we look forward to seeing Harvey and Me Part 2. Mind yourself, Katie. Good talking to you.
Take care, everyone. Keep safe.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it from us. We are back tomorrow. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.